TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Instead of a shovel and pick to dig deeper, Darren Denslow has his iMac G3 and rusty magnifying glass so he can dig deeper for the real story. This is Digging Deeper with D.D. Denslow on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. This is me, D.D. Denslow. We're live. It is the 25th of It's the 25th of November. It's 1 month for Christmas. Christmas is coming, and I've had my arm twisted around my back. I have to get a Christmas tree this weekend. I'm normally a bit of a bar humbug. And you've just been listening to the wonderful Rick Munn. He actually had an ex-student of mine on, something that's never been aired before in podcasts or on TNT, but Rick brought it up. So yeah, Rohan is actually an ex-student of mine, an ex-chemistry student of mine, and I thought he did an excellent job on Rick. We've done a bit of a guest slop, me and Rick, and I have smiling at me with her nice red hair. I've got Natalie Chill with me for the next hour. We're going to be talking about shootings. We're going to be talking about strange advertising campaigns for prominent fashion designer labels. And apparently she's going to be the one who's going to convince me that Elon Musk is part of the cabal. There's some Elon news coming out, and actually it may benefit both me and Natalie. So that will be the first thing that's coming up. If you're in the live chat, cool. Keep the messages coming in. If you're not on the live chat, you can get on there on TNTRadio.live. Send us a message. I will try to get in there and have a look during the breaks. Make sure you buy, you know, 20 hoodies for yourself and your family. Make sure you get some for Christmas because it's going to be cold, especially in the UK. And again, any feedback, get on the soapbox, anything that you can do, and make sure you tell everybody that you should be listening to TNT Radio. Now, a couple of little facts here that I've picked up yesterday. Did you know that Qatar, because it's a bit current, nobody ever talks about Qatar, you know, unless they're, you know, chucking people off high places. Qatar is the 10th largest landowner in the UK. Did you know that? I didn't know that, and I was quite amazed by that particular fact. So, and I'm sure there's going to be lots more interesting facts coming up on the show, so please stay with us. And if you've missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn, and probably many, many, many more. Just go and look for us, TNT Radio, hard to misspell. Go and look for us and spread the word, because there's never any reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
The latest news to your smart speaker.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I'm not really interested in all this op-ed business, Natalie. I want to get straight to my guest. I don't have the news headline on my show because I only hear for an hour. So, Natalie, it's great to finally meet you face to face. How are you?
I know. It's lovely to meet you, Darren. I've known you online now for a good couple of years, but I've not actually spoken to you. So that's a nice opportunity this morning.
Yeah, we're friends or followers on other media platforms, and we followed each other in our variety of our Twitter our handles. I'm up to about Twitter handle number 7, which gets me straight to Elon's poll. Yeah, so Elon's poll. Should Twitter offer a general amnesty to suspended accounts, provided that they have not broken the law or engaged in egregious spam? Now, I don't know if I'm going to get on that last one. But anyway, after over 3.162 million votes, 72.4% said yes. And Elon's response to this overwhelming yes vote to release the Kraken, he has said, Vox Populi, Vox Dei, which means the voice of the people is the voice of God. What do you think about this poll and Elon's decision to release the Kraken, Natalie?
Well, I'll believe it when I fully see it, but I believe he's playing, you know, like good cop, bad cop. He is what I believe is a, the analogy best that I could come up with is the Trojan horse. Do you remember the horse that used to go like Greek mythology in order to trick the people? And then they all came out and fought. I see him as a Trojan horse. He's playing the, oh, I'm going to come save you. I'm the good guy. When really he's just as much as bad as the elites and pushing agenda 30. So I see all of this at the moment as part of the act. Even there was a tweet he put out yesterday. Oh, it was horrible. Let me read it out. It was more and more over time as we hew closer to the truth, Twitter will earn the trust of the people. It reminds me of like something like Lord Snow would say on The Hunger Games or 1984. There's a real dictator vibe about it, you know, and so many of his tweets have got that. There was another one, holding off relaunch of Blue Verified until there is high confidence of stopping impersonation. Oh, yeah, because digital ID will help that, won't it? We'll probably use different colour checks for organisations and individuals. Oh, right, because only last week you were telling me that we wanted everyone to have the same opportunity. Only a week later with this good guy, he's now telling us we're going to need to be verified possibly digitally and we're going to all be split up with different colours. So he's already going back on his word from what I can see. I really, as you can tell, I'm on a rant.
Yeah. Good. It's good to believe. It's good to have opinion. It's good to think because, you know, I'm on the fence. You know, I sometimes describe myself as an Elon Musk fanboy. And actually, that's more of a title given to me by Rick. I'm more on the fence because for everything that you just said to me, I could easily go back and say, well, actually, he's releasing a lot of the political prisoners on Twitter. That's a good thing.
But I'm not denying that. I'm saying he's doing that to get you on side.
I understand that argument. But at the moment, all right, tell me what he has done so far with regards to the purchase of Twitter. Just keep it within that sort of that frame. What has he done that's bad? And if you say he hasn't released Alex Jones, I think that's not an argument because if I was in charge of Twitter with his commercial pressures, I may go, do you know what, Alex Jones, maybe not. I think, as a personal person, I think he should, but... Sorry, go on.
Well, I think it's just classic behavioural psychology. Me and my son were talking about it as soon as Elon took over. He's more on your kind of wavelength. And we both said, well, he has to, the easiest thing to do is bring Donald Trump's account back. That was the one. See, Donald Trump doesn't even want his account back. He's not even using it. But that was going to be the big sign. Look, everyone. Look, Elon's our hero. Donald Trump's got his account back. And the thing is, it's the parody account. So to me, he's done one good thing. Oh, that was the easy one to do. Put Trump back. And then he's gone, oh, by the way, you can't have a parody account unless you put parody after your name. We can't have impersonators on here. It's all pushing towards the same thing. So do the easy thing. Do the big celebrities. Give them back. But when it comes down to it, he's actually done more restriction than he has. But if you're restricting parody accounts and you can't even have a parody account, how is that freedom of speech?
I think he's correct that there should be parody in the title of someone's account because look what happened.
No, that's not a parody then. It's not a parody.
But if you're going to be verified,
No, but they're not verify your account. A parody account's not asking to be verified. It doesn't work as a parody.
The accounts he took down, but
the tweet said he's taken any parody account down that doesn't have parody in their name. That's not free speech and it takes away from being parody. So as far as I'm concerned, he's reinstated some big famous people, so he looks good cop, bad cop, and then he's actually done worse for freedom of speech by taking parody accounts away.
But he's now said he's going to release all suspended accounts unless they've broken the law or egregious spam.
So we have to assume that
we have to assume now he's made that statement and the people have spoken. Until it doesn't happen, we have to assume it is going to happen next week.
But again, another tweet yesterday. Hate speech impressions are down by a third from pre-strike levels. Congratulations to the Twitter team. Sorry, that sounds like something from the woke agenda. This man is not. Yeah. I just cannot see it. And I wrote a couple of other things. Right, I don't know if you've ever seen. Like, there's a very famous documentary, Are Corporate Leaders Psychopaths? So it's very famous, but basically it goes on to say that most people at the top of corporate business have very similar brains and how they work to sociopaths or psychopaths. They have very little empathy. The motivation and the drive for their own wants and their ego, a very similar brain, the way the amygdala works, all that type of thing. And what I'm trying to say is this man did not get to the top of the world being one of the richest men in the world by being a good Bart guy and looking out for the people. He owns an electric car business by all accounts, and he got that Bart, and he got that by cheating people out of that by all accounts. He has come from a ridiculously dysfunctional family. His dad has had a second child with his stepdaughter. He's had 10 children himself from different... You didn't know. That's what I'm saying. You want to look up Ian Musk. You want to look up what this dysfunctional family does. Narcissism does. This man is. That's true. Look it up. So he's
I'm not disbelieving you.
He's got 10 children from however different many women, but he's a man. He is a morally, yes, he's, no, I just don't see it. He did not get to the top of the world by being who he is. By patting everyone on the back and going, oh, let's look out for the benefit and the interests of every person on this world. I just cannot see it. Okay. This is
so
a man.
So what happened? Brief. Go on. Through the nose. Out of the mouth.
I'm breathing. Yeah. I was looking forward to this debate.
Yeah, it's good. And you're still not convincing me. Yeah. On the fence. Okay. I have no doubt that he's not the great guy that he wants to have himself portrayed as. Of course he's not. Yeah. He's at the top of business, effectively, in terms of his personal wealth. He's the number one businessman on the planet. Yeah. And I'll tell you what's going to sell on Twitter: free speech. Okay. We will see. We may well talk again. I don't know, in a month's time, or sometime down the line in the future, maybe in 2023, Natalie. And we'll both be going, and I'll be going, hey, I got my Darren of Plymouth Twitter account back, and I got my 70,000 followers back, and I'm over the moon, and it's great. And I've been able to say anything I like, and I've not had any censorship, or I've even maybe able to monetize it in some way or whatever.
I believe you may have to do that. Mm-hmm. For 6 months, maybe, and then he'll go charge you for the privilege, and then he'll change it to you're going to pay for tweets, or you're going to have to be digitally verified. That's what I'm telling you. This is exactly the same. He's dangling, you know, like they dangled the carrot of freedom. He's dangling the carrot of free speech, and you're lapping it up.
I'm not personally lapping it up. I'm like, I might have my Twitter account back next week, which was unfairly taken away from me. And, Natalie, you may have your Twitter account back. So
but
the
I'm
question
sure
is...
I'll use it. I'm not
you're,
sure
so
I'll
you're
use
gonna
it.
Be you're gonna be dig your heels in like Donald Trump. Yeah, and Donald Trump's probably got contractual arrangements
I'm not
that's
beg
preventing
up.
Him.
I don't beg to abuse you don't beg to an abuser and go, oh, thank you, you've given me something back. It's not how the way I work. So
haven't begged.
Things like carbon tax, right? So he said on May last year, it's high time there was a carbon tax. Universal basic income. He said on the 24th, these are all tweets, by the way, got pictures. As a reminder, I'm in favour of universal basic income. On vaccines, to be clear, I do support vaccines in general and COVID vaccines specifically. The science is unequivocal. Then on
he's changed his mind on that. He's actually changed his mind on that. Yeah, he didn't have his kids vaccinated. He's tweeted that at the beginning of the pandemic. With regards to, for example, the Hunter Biden laptop story, he is going to release all the information with regards to the decision making about pulling that story to the public. Okay, granted.
So has he not been allowed? Has he not been allowed by the elites to do that? So he looks like a good person, though. So he's basically revealing information that they're allowing him to.
Maybe.
So people will go,
maybe.
Oh, what a good man he is.
Hey, maybe if you want to go down that line of thinking, maybe I'm like that. I'm just on the surface watching what's going on, and I'm only commenting on what he has done. And so far, with regards to Twitter, so far, I haven't really got any complaints. And if I get my Twitter account back and everybody else who's been unfairly censored and suspended on what is the most important social media platform and communication tool on the planet, if they all get their voices back, not only is the meltdown going to be absolutely magnificent, but
can you not see, though, it's similar to the freedom? You're happy because he's giving you that little bit of freedom of speech back before he takes it away again. And then that's part of, if he's done that to the parody account and he's already saying that you're all going to have different coloured ticks and you all need to be verified, I don't agree with you, because he's already showing signs that he's not giving back what you're suggesting. He's giving you little crumbs of your free speech, Darren, and you're saying, oh, please give it back to me, please. And I can't see how that's any different to what we did with the government and our freedom.
We shall see how it unfolds. My attitude is, I'm giving him time with regards to Twitter, and that's the box that I'm working in with this particular conversation, and we will see what it's like in 2023. And actually, me and Rick have got an outstanding £100 bet that, and it was a year's bet that we made, and that's going to come to fruition April time, May time. So hopefully I win that bet and free speech has been returned. And if not, I have to pay Rick £100.
And I'm also one of these people that if I'm wrong, I'll be the first person to put up my hand and say, you know, I was wrong about him and this. I doubt it very much, but I would... Honestly, if it's all returned and he comes out and he starts giving all his money to charity and I can't see it, but I will always put up my hand when I'm wrong.
Ultimately, all I care about is if he gets to Mars or not. Now, calm down. Don't have a go at me for that. I'm a scientist. That's what I care about. Anyway, we'll call that a 0-0 draw. We're about to go to a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the news stories that we sort of agreed that we was going to talk about, Natalie. So stay with us. After this ad break, we're going to be talking about the Colorado shooting on TNT Radio.
You should hear what George Eliason is talking about.
Joe Biden said outright that he's going to do everything he can constitutionally to keep Donald Trump from ever sitting in the big seat again.
I mean, it'd be a continuation of what Donald Trump has been subjected to since first signaled he was going to run for president, which is they have absolutely gone every way outside of the law, outside of fairness, outside of due process, outside of justice, in order to destroy stop Donald Trump in his desire to serve the country and to serve as president and anything he's tried to accomplish, really. To use the term, I guess the popular term, they really jumped the shark. You know, I mean, some of the investigations, that the back and forth that went on between like special prosecutors and so forth. But in this case, they have completely just fabricated out of thin air, masses of fake information. And I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's like the scandal industrial fabrication complex.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $310 million to mainstream media. We don't tell the story that Bill Gates wants you to know. We tell the real story. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, welcome back to TNT Radio with me, DD Denslow. I'm here with Natalie. Someone described our last conversation as walking into a domestic. I've only just met her. Yeah, we're already fighting. So there's a future for us, I think. And a lot of people are actually agreeing with your position. And it's not very often that I get told that Darren's lost the argument. We'll just have to wait and see how it flows.
We will.
And how it pans out, you know, because nobody really knows. We can look at it from so many angles. Anyway, let's forget about Elon because he gets far too much airtime, especially on my show. And let's talk about Anderson Lee Aldrich. He's the guy who went in and shot up a gay bar in Colorado, and the mainstream media immediately started attacking him as a right winger, as a white supremacist. Oh, he's responding to the rhetoric of Fox News and Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson got a right bashing in America, as he usually does, as being where all the right wingers go to watch their TV. No, it's where most of America goes to watch their news, actually, CNN, MSNBC. And now it turns out, and this is beautiful, it turns out that this shooter, Anderson Lee Aldrich, is actually non-binary. He walked into a all-ages drag brunch. Now, I've never heard that expression before. I took a double take when I heard it. But basically, any age group can go in and have brunch in this drag setting. So that's when this non-binary character went in, shot up a load of people. There was 18 injured. There was quite a few dead. And now the mainstream media in America are tripping them over themselves. They've been misgendering this guy. They've been calling him a liar, which is like crime thought, isn't it? To say, oh, you're not transgender, you're not non-binary. Have you looked into this story, and what do you think, Natalie?
Yeah, so it's a very odd story, and like, you know, the Alex Jones, like straight away, as soon as I heard the story come up, I'm like, oh, that's very topical. It just has so happens to happen at a gay club, so. You know, that's the way my mind thinks, unfortunately, with the way the world has gone over the last 2 years. But from what I've seen, it does look very much that he is not non-binary at all. It does look very much that they are using that for his defence, and they're using the woke agenda in their favour, because there are pictures of him apparently burning the gay pride flag on his Instagram and stuff like that. Very unlikely, you know, to go from that to being non-binary. It looks to me, I actually saw the interview. I sent you a article about his dad. I actually saw the interview by his dad. I mean, I'm quite sure he was on drugs for that interview. But he's a meth addict and a former porn star. And he said, basically, and I actually saw the interview, the papers weren't overstating it. He said, oh, it doesn't matter about the violence. I don't condemn violence. It can get you what you want. I just only cared if he was gay or not. That's all I cared about. And he's not gay. And as long as he's not gay, then I'm okay. So, you know, he's had a My kind of history comes in. I have a love of psychology that I had a dysfunctional childhood myself, many mental health problems and addiction problems. So, you know, psychology was the thing that I've always interested in. So for me, it looked very much that this is a truly abusive, dysfunctional family. I mean, you only have to see the dad and obviously probably identity issues. There is possibly maybe he is gay. Maybe that, you know, the forcing of his parents, that agenda, and there's identity and mental health problems there. But then you say, how does it fill into the bigger agenda? Because everything happens to be LGBTQIA, including the World Cup is now not turned into the Football World Cup, that's turned into the LGBTQIA World Cup. One love, armbands, woohoo! And is there any coincidence we get another story? And no, I'm not trying to say they're crisis actors or anything like Alex Jones. I think what I'm also saying is some stories in America get pushed to the front. There's a lot of shootings and many don't get any newsworthy at all. This one happens to get absolutely massive storyline.
Because of the where it happened and who was shot. And I mean, you brought up, you know, there's probably no doubt that this person is using the non-binary excuse to prevent him from facing hate crimes.
Yes,
and that's what the left-leaning or the far left-leaning media in the USA is now reporting and saying, and they're also at the same time trying to quieten the story down and distance themselves. So there's two sides to it. Oh, right. So any man can just go, I'm non-binary, and use that as an excuse. Any man can go, oh, I'm a girl now, I'm going to go into the girls' toilets. Yeah. Because their argument before was, oh, that doesn't happen. Only non-binary people say they're non-binary. Only people who genuinely believe that they're a woman when they're a man say that they're now a trans woman. And now we've got somebody using it as a legal defense, and you can't say anything against it because for not affirming their identity, you're committing a crime. For in the same breath, the mainstream media are calling him a liar, which means they're going against, they're committing crime thoughts, are saying, oh no, we think he's lying, so they're now not affirming. And this is the mainstream media who pushes that you must affirm, so the narrative is crumbling on both sides, making it quite an interesting story.
It is, for that reason, because I feel like this was pushed to push the agenda forward about hate crime, but by the legal team actually kind of using that, they're using the woke left agenda against them and the mainstream media. Because like you said, what can they do? You know, because it's, even if he was, they could claim, even if he goes burning pride flags, they can say, yes, but deep down he knew he was non-binary. Yeah. You know, at what point they can say anything? They're like, that's what we have been saying on this side the whole time, that we've got no problem with it, how anyone wants to live their life at all. But you can't just suddenly say, I'm a microwave, you need to call me a microwave, or I'm a princess, you need to call me, you know, Princess Natalie forever. You know, that isn't the way the world works. But this brings up all of those problems. It's a very interesting story, and to see how it's going to go. Because like you said, the left are going to keep calling him a liar. So if they call him a liar, why can't we call someone else a liar?
Exactly. It's that thread. As soon as you start pulling on the thread on any of the LGBTQ stuff, and it's the same for the Black Lives Matter stuff, you know, the pride stuff, the drag queen stuff, all of it. And we're going to be coming on to it in a minute with the Balenciaga stuff. You put on that thread, it all very, very quickly unravels. And having watched some of the reports by, you know, by some of these so-called journalists on MSNBC and CNN, you can see how they're struggling to report on this story without sort of compromising themselves with all their other ideological fellows. So we're going to stay on a similar theme. We're going to go to a quick news break. It's a very quick break. And when we come back, we'll start talking about this fashion firm who has dubious links and has very, very sinister advertising campaigns. So come right back to us after this break, and I'll be here with Microwave, or was it Princess? I can't remember, on TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. It's been revealed the hugely popular video game Call of Duty is used by the US military as an active tool for recruiting and training future soldiers. Over 1,000 flight attendants have voted to walk off the job in Australia around Christmas if a new deal cannot be reached with the country's national airline Qantas. And close to 600 kilograms of cannabis has gone missing from police cells in India, and officials are blaming rats for eating it.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, so we're back. I'm here with Natalie, and we're going to talk about the Balenciaga news story. Again, this is something else that's been very quickly just brushed under the rug. And I'm just going to read a little extract to the article that I sent you about the pictures, Natalie. So there's a picture that focuses on a girl lying down on a sofa surrounded by empty wine glasses, while this photo includes tape with the letters B-A-A-L in capitalized. Baal, a pagan god who demanded child sacrifice. This picture also shows documents with the court case Ashcroft versus Free Speech Coalition, a controversial ruling that struck down a portion of the Child Pornography Protection Act after it deemed that online child pornography is protected free speech. And there were a whole other raft of pictures, etc., that were used as part of an advertising campaign, also endorsed by people like the Kardashians, by this Balenciaga, that really sort of promoted child abuse, satanic things, ritualistic sort of satanic type imagery. And it makes you wonder, why the hell would this fashion label, a very prominent highbrow fashion label, use this type of imagery to sell their products? Why do you think they would have done that, Natalie?
I must admit, I barely even heard of this brand up till a couple of weeks ago. A couple of people on Facebook were kind of taking the mick out of it, like, because this stuff was so expensive. Like, they sell, like, shoes, I think, like Crocs or something for thousands of pounds, and a packet of crisps, I think, that, like, it's madness. Like, so that's strange in itself. But when I saw the pictures, I saw one, like, post about it saying how awful it was. And I thought, oh, it probably isn't that bad, these pictures. You know, like, people have gone over the top. And I could not believe it. I mean, this is like kids of under 5 years old holding teddy bears that have got BDSM gear all over them. Their pictures, they've got alcohol, they've got a dog leash, they've got, I mean, this is hardcore stuff in front of them. No child should be pictured with alcohol glasses, BDSM stuff and dog leashes. That's just not, it's not, I mean, this isn't, you don't have to, what's the word, look into it really carefully and see it. Do you know what I mean? Like symbolism. This is literally in front of you. It's awful. I can't even, and then obviously with the thing that you have to look closely is they have it in one of the photos, there's a document. It's a document from a court case basically pushing child exploitation, mm-hmm. And online grooming. Now, that's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence, you know? So at that point, then you've got to say why. Who has done it and why? What's the idea of the ad campaign?
I don't know what the purpose of the ad campaign is, but they're definitely trying to project a particular message. Now, I had a look to see who Balenciaga get their money from. And by the way, they have actually removed all these pictures from the web. You might still be able to find them on Google Images. Most of the celebrities that either endorsed the pictures or in the pictures, etc., they've all removed them. And Balenciaga are now no longer on Twitter or on Instagram. So they've removed both of their accounts. Now, the rumor is, and I don't want to talk about Elon Musk, but Balenciaga removed themselves from Twitter because Elon Musk has gone after all the child porn on Twitter, hasn't he? So that's something else that he has actually done.
Let's not go back to Elon Musk.
But that's on this occasion,
I don't think that's to do with this story. I think
not to do with this story. That's something that's been going on that Twitter's never dealt with, and now looks like they are finally dealing with it. So good. But who supports this this fashion firm financially? The UN is on their list as financial backers. So is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Mm-hmm. So is the Rockefeller Foundation. There are some other children's foundations that are all heavily invested in Balenciaga. And you wonder what their influence might be.
You've also got Kanye West and Kim Kardashian as well. They both promote it, and obviously Kanye West is a very topical and controversial character. For me, it looks like they were trying to see what they could get away with. It's a very obviously commercial corrupt company in some way. And you know, like we say, hidden in plain sight, as a lot of the kind of satanic symbolism and stuff is. I just wonder if they thought, right, let's put it out there and see what the general feedback is, to see what they could get away with. And if they were making so much money already, it was one of those like they were prepared to lose the company, or just to see if things had changed. I mean, other people have said that it's a distraction. We know that there's often distractions. Look at one story to see what's happening in the background. But it feels very much like, to me, they were seeing, because so much has changed, and you know, they're trying to call paedophiles now minor attracted persons and all that. I wonder if they were just seeing, let's push this, let's see what comes back from it. I mean, I could be wrong. That's the only thing that I can think of. Otherwise, why on earth would you put it out there?
I can't imagine. You know, I mean, they blamed their photographer. They blamed the photographer who took the pictures. They reprimanded him and sacked him, etc., and then pulled their ad campaign. But these things are... they're always deliberate, and it's not, we can just move away from the Balenciaga stuff. It's actually something from the far left that they have been pushing for a variety of different angles, whether it's in schools or in drag, with the drag queen sagas, particularly that we've seen in the USA over the course of this year and last year, whether it's in Disney films. We see this sexualizing of younger and younger people, making them sex objects. And I say people, I mean children. I find it very disturbing, very sinister. And then, without getting too conspiratorial, Natalie, do you believe that at the very highest levels of our society, and I don't mean that they're high, but you know what I mean by that, in the elitist circles, that there is some sort of perverted ideology, something that might be satanic? We mentioned Baal here, which is the pagan god who demanded child sacrifice. Do you believe that with these behaviors actually emanate right from the very top of our society, and they're trying to normalize it for themselves with us plebs?
And I that's what I think that campaign was trying to do. I think they have been trying to normalize it more anyway through all these things. And there is vast amounts of evidence of a global child trafficking problem and paedophilia problem. We know that there is literally evidence of that online, that there are gangs. And also, like you said, even elitists, when you think of Epstein, you know, that's not even like a controversial thing to say. So we know there are massive problems with it. And I feel that this campaign was possibly pushing the limits to see how far that they'd come along in their campaign to normalize it.
And there's not really been any major outrage in the media or on social media. You know, even if you're somebody who is paying attention, this is a story that might have slipped by you without noticing, because it came and went so quickly. And really, this firm should be being screened out aloud, this Balenciaga. And I don't think it's the first time that they've done something like this, or other fashion labels have done similar things. Sorry,
I was going to
say something.
Yeah, and I was going to say, they often test. We know they did it in the last 2 years. You know, they test things in the media to get feedback. And, you know, this was a company almost set up to be quite outrageous and stuff. You know, pay them enough money, put this photo shoot in. I just, you know, we've seen it so much. They test where the public's kind of viewpoint is by putting things in. And then if it's bad, they just very pull it quietly. They don't give it much. They don't give it much mainstream airtime. But that's what they've done with this. They've just quietly taken it away. Like, they're not ready for that yet. We've not got to that point yet. But they've done their little tests, just like they'll do. You know, they'll talk about, in the same way, the blackouts here in the UK. They're testing that a lot. They're putting a lot of news stories about blackouts, you know, and that's how they gauge the public opinion. And I think that, I believe that's probably what this was.
Yeah, they're like, they're warming us up. They're sort of taking two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. And I mean, I never really ever bought into sort of the sex trafficking and paedophilia at the elite levels and in our political class and in our media class. And it wasn't until sort of summer 2020 when I realized, when I was fully aware, I started putting all the pieces together with the pandemic, and I looked into some of the paedophile stuff and the sex trafficking stuff. There was a series of investigations recorded by a guy called Malfi Buddha. I don't know if you've come into the called Pedo Game. No. And he did a part one, two, and three. He's been kicked off YouTube. You can find it on BitChute. I mean, it was an eye opener. He did a whole one on Tom Hanks, for example. I believe that Tom Hanks is up to his eyeballs in this sort of stuff. So I am now convinced that, you know, the political class in particular and their controllers are all compromised by their sexual deviancy, and it's being normalized by the social engineers and the people in power, so that when it all comes out, if you're in the wash, the public will be more accepting of their behavior. Final comments on this, Natalie, before we go to the break?
I agree in general. I think that the idea, obviously, in the future, like a depopulation agenda, if you say that, and the LGBTQ and all of this, it's all very much comes under the same kind of bracket, doesn't it? And that's why they are feeding us with these little stories. I saw that somebody's put, it's a distraction. Absolutely, these things are a distraction, but they also work. And that's how the psychology works. They have to socially condition you and predictive programming with little things over time. And you don't even realize that they're coming in. And that's exactly what I think this story is doing.
Yeah, it's an awful story. And, you know, as a group of people, you know, as a society, we really need to stamp down on this, because, you know, they are coming for the children, and it's unmistakable that that's the direction that they're traveling in. Okay, so we're going to a quick ad break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Darren's favorite subject, vaccines, vaccine injuries, excess deaths, etc. It's not my favorite subject, but it's the biggest story out there and will remain to be for the immediate and maybe long-term future. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this ad break on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
All week long, the American media has been providing nearly nonstop coverage of the shooting at a Colorado Springs gay nightclub, where a lone shooter, a 22-year-old white male, killed 5 and wounded 17. Now, even before the suspect spoke to police, the leftist in the media knew exactly why he did it. That's right. It was Fox News' fault. Tucker Carlson, along with anyone who's ever raised legitimate concern over the new effort to indoctrinate our young school kids into the world of trans and drag queens without parental consent. You have blood on your hands, the lunatic left said. The story fit their narrative to a T. Now let's go back 1 year. A driver ran over and killed 6 and wounded 60 more participants of a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The dead included an 8-year-old boy and a 79-year-old woman. The media was all over the horror until they discovered that the driver was a black man who, according to reports, supported BLM and hated white people. That's when the coverage stopped, almost universally. That attack did not fit the leftist media narrative. That's the way the fake media operates in 2022. So always remember that and proceed with caution when getting your information. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
I will be right by your side.
Women can have it all, including heart attacks. But symptoms like jaw pain, nausea, unusual fatigue, dizziness, and backache are often different and more subtle than for a man. The fact is, heart disease is the number one killer of women. Know the signs. Learn more at getheartchecked.org. From Women's Heart Alliance, in partnership with Women Heart.
You're listening to Digging Deeper with D.D. Denslow on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, and we're running into midday. I'm here with Natalie Chill. We've been talking about a variety of things, some things we don't agree on, some things that we do. All good. That's what makes the world go round. And I'm pretty sure there's something with it, again, we're definitely going to agree on. You asked, you mentioned to me the Suddenly Died documentary. I've watched it. I'm sure you have as well. What do you think about that documentary?
I personally didn't like the documentary. I've got a different view to many people. I don't think it was well made. I think it was sensationalism, and I don't think that will help our side. It came across as a conspiracy theorist documentary that's only going to be watched by conspiracy theorists, and it won't make it to the mainstream because it wasn't. It's not been done fairly with the correct evidence. The evidence was there. They could have used it, but they made it very Hollywood, very too much of people's opinions, not enough evidence. And so yet again, it will end up being just conspiracy theorist, being labelled as conspiracy theorist nonsense, sadly. And
it was Americanized, wasn't it? It was, and unfortunately, that's how Americans make their TV, don't they? It is generally quite sensationalized and maybe bigger than it should be, if that makes any sense.
Too many opinions, not enough, you know, to come on straight away to have pictures. Why did they need pictures of Epstein, like, to start with? That's showing you, like, it's going on a conspiracy. Who are you trying to put that towards? Is this trying to wake people up? And then they were started off with a depopulation agenda. You don't start with that and died suddenly. You literally just focus on vaccine injuries, but you don't even say they're just vaccine injuries. I felt that he found evidence to fit his hypothesis, which is actually what governments and mainstream media have done over the last 2 years. I felt that that documentary did what we've been saying that they shouldn't do. So much fear mongering. Like, people are going to awake because you say, oh, you'll probably be dead in 5 years and you're going to be infertile. But come on our side. Like, and where are you? Where's your evidence for that? There was blood clots and the embalming stuff. But again, okay, I've seen it. So then tell me, which of all of those people that you showed, what injection did they have? Did they have Ciders? Did they have Moderna? Where in the world were they? Did they have a mixture? What food do they eat at the same time? Where's your control group? Without that, that documentary is just circumstantial evidence at best, and makes us look stupid, in my opinion.
Okay. No. And I agree with you on a lot of that, what you've just said. It was sensationalized. Some of the evidence that they presented, I'm using inverted commas so you can see me, was quite disturbing with regards to the sort of fibrous stuff, you know, the stuff they were pulling out of the necks. They weren't blood clots, but they were, I don't know, other materials.
But then they should have gone, this is what we've seen, but we need an investigation. It could be the vaccine. Could it be chemtrails? Could it be diet linked with the vaccine? Could it be? If you don't do that, that's not a scientific documentary. You're just going, look, you know, and look at what's happened, sensationalize it. What if the people that are saying it have been funded by somebody else to say it just felt very much like the mainstream media propaganda that we've been. If I complain about the mainstream media propaganda about COVID, I've got to do the same from the rubbish that appears on our side. And if you don't, I've seen so many people on our side be like, oh, it's so good. And I'm like, so basically, as long as it agrees with you, you're going to say it's good then. Is basically what so many people do.
That's the nature of confirmation bias, though, unfortunately. We all fall into that trap. We look for information that conforms and agrees with what we already think, and that's nice and that's safe. And both sides do it, whether you're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist or a right winger, whatever you want to, or if you're somebody who's on their 17th jab and sleeps with a mask on, you know, you're going to look for information that matches up with what you believe. But we can take one step back from the documentary and have a look at some of the think about some of the statistics that are coming out of the Western world with regards to excess deaths and mortality rates and infertility, or the drop in birth rates. We could say that documentary is much, and there has been one from the UK as well, which is much more grounded with Dr. Asim Malhotra. I forget the name of it now. You may remember the name of it. I don't know.
Safe and effective.
That's correct. Yeah, so that's much more grounded, evidence based, with a proper sort of medical approach from Malhotra. Yeah. What do you think then about these excess deaths that are being reported at the moment?
I mean, my personal view from what I can see is that the vaccine does damage the immune system, whether that's short term. And we've seen, you know, I'm saying that via evidence. I know people who have been personally vaccine injured who are going and actually claiming officially through the correct route because they got it on from doctors. So this isn't just me saying hearsay, if you see what I mean. I personally know people. And we also know that cancer rates have gone up. That I mean, you could say, because I like to say pros and cons here, and this is what they don't do on so many things. It is possible, theoretically possible, that the excess deaths are because we closed down for 2 years and nobody had any proper care for 2 years. Yep.
And so some of them will be.
And some of them will be. And there were serious things like cancer. You could say, well, nobody had a checkup for 2 years, so that's why cancers are up. Harder, though, with heart attacks and strokes and heart problems that you'd suddenly be people dying suddenly. So I think that's the one to really focus on, because most of them are very, very healthy. You know, they've got to like 40 or 50 years old. So that would have been picked up. If you had a heart default, you wouldn't have got all the way. You might get to 20 maybe, but not to 40 or 50. So why are people at 40 or 50 dying suddenly? You know, and the hush up that comes with it, and the fact that you're not allowed to talk about it. That to me is always a concern, you know. If there's no problem, then let people talk about it in the mainstream media. Let's go on TV. Let's have a debate. Just like me and you have had, might not agree on Elon. You've let me come on and say, come on, then we'll talk about it together. That's what if that's what open and healthy debate should be. Yeah. And when they don't allow,
I want to be challenged.
That's it. If you need your views challenged, because how do you learn? How do you gain new knowledge? And often I am a person, I will change my mind and I will put up, say, I'm wrong. And everybody should take accountability and responsibility. And that should be something learned in schools, which people don't do anymore. But they're not even allowing debate. You can't talk about the excess deaths. And that's the concerning thing. If they truly believe they were from the hospitals, why not come out and say, look, we actually think it's because we were shut down for 2 years. But then they would have to say lockdowns were wrong. So a bit like the article we were saying before, they're in a catch-22 situation here.
They're buggered if they do, and they're buggered if they don't. And you're right, they have to stay silent, because if they said, oh, we think there's a problem with the vaccine, and it's contributing to excess deaths. I think it's contributing a lot, personal opinion. And I also believe that the vaccines are knowingly dangerous, and that this outcome was known beforehand. Again, personal opinion, I can't prove that. But if they are to come out and say, oh, we think the vaccines are dangerous, that means that they would have to admit that there's a problem, just like you said, with the lockdowns or mask wearing or anything. Yeah. They've only got to really sort of start pointing the fingers at that from the highest levels, like from government and above. Yeah. Then the people are going to look at them, and the people are going to start asking questions and turn
everything.
And it won't be me and you. It will be the people who have been jabbed, or the people who have been wearing a mask for the last 2 years, or the people who haven't seen their grandparents because they've been too afraid to leave their home. It will be those people who are going to react, not us, not people like me and you, Natalie, because, we've been warning you about this for the last 3 years.
Yeah. So, and I think, no, there's... I think there is a bit of a problem with the freedom movement in general at the moment. I do get a bit disillusioned by it, because you don't wake people up by fear-mongering in the same way that we complained about fear-mongering, like that documentary did. You know, I keep saying to people, you know, people have been vaxxed 2 or 3 times, shouting in their face that they're going to die in the next 5 years and they'll never have any children. It's not going to make them think, oh, I'll have a nice debate or conversation with you. And we need to think about that a little bit more, because it is then fear-mongering on our side and we're doing what we complained about, you know, because we don't have enough evidence at the moment, and all we really need is investigations and people talking about it. And that is what should be being pushed more than anything else.
It's very difficult. You know, I'll put my hands up and, you know, I've done my fair share of fear-mongering on social media. I mean, this was during the pandemic where I was warning people about what was coming.
Of course.
I'm sure.
But we need to change tactics now. No. That's what I'm saying. We've all done that. Yeah. I put things out like that. But we're not going to wake up the jab by telling them they're doomed.
Very true. Very true, Natalie. So anyway, Natalie, it's been amazing having you on. We've had a bit of a chin wag and a disagreement, etc. And you know, it's definitely woken me up for the rest of the Friday. And there's been lots of healthy debate in the online chat.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of people disagreeing with me. That's fine. I don't mind.